I was putting together, I had gotten a scripture and a story that we were going to look at. And I said, well, you know, anytime you get in front of people, they want a subject, you know. So what's the subject? What are you talking about? And I thought about a number of different things. So I'm going to throw some things out here, and I'll let you decide what the subject of this is after you hear it. But I believe it has real application for us. One of them is Revelation, and I don't mean the book of Revelation. I'm just talking about the idea of Revelation. Another is obedience. And the other is faithfulness. So that's three things you could, Revelation, obedience, and faithfulness. And you can decide which of those are more appropriate to kind of put a little tag on what we have to say or what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a story in the Old Testament. I'm going to read from the scriptures, and you'll hear the story. And then we're going to kind of pick that story apart and see what parts of it have application for 2026. You know, that was a long time ago. Times have changed, and customs change, and things are quite different today. But I think that the principles of the scripture and the principles and the laws and the ways of God are never changing. Yes. And they have application. We just have to have revelation. Here we are. To understand, Lord, what are you saying? And what does that mean today in this situation? So, let me see. I guess it might be well for us to consider, what is revelation anyway? And I've certainly scratched some notes. I don't have an instant definition of it on my head. But I do understand that revelation is a revealing of something that's not widely known. It's a secret. You know, today in today's time, sometimes young couples, in anticipating the birth of a new child, they will call their friends together and they'll say, we got a secret we're going to reveal. Nobody knows whether it's a girl or a boy. I mean, we know, but none of you know whether it's a girl or a boy. When they play games and everything, and the bottom line of this gathering and celebration is that we reveal it's going to be a baby boy or a baby girl. And everybody claps and they're happy because they didn't know it ahead of time. It was revealed to them that they're expecting a baby, or sometimes twins, who knows. But they are expecting, and here's what we know that we didn't know. Sometimes artists do great work, and they do great piece of sculpture or a bust of someone, and nobody really knows except the artist what that is. But many times there is a formal kind of gathering of people, and there's a big drape over this piece of work. So when you come in, you say, oh, I wonder what's under there. Is it a dog under there? Who knows? But at some point in the ceremony, there is a revelation, a revealing. Somebody takes that drape that's over it and pulls it off. And you say, oh my, what a wonderful piece of work. Oh, this represents this, and it tells stories, and it gives information. You see something about the work of this artist. You say, oh my, I had no idea that over these last 2 or 3 years they were working, I had no idea what they were going to produce. But now I know, and now it's clear. And now if you ask me, I can tell you something about it. It's been revealed to me. It's clear to me. Now understand about revelation. Before the reveal, before the revelation, It's secret to you. It's you don't see it. And I want you to understand that many times God shows us by revelation truths about himself, truths about the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you remember, in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is said to have one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to us. In other words, in 2026, well, Jesus came, lived his life, was crucified, buried, rose again, and ascended to the Father. But the Holy Spirit makes him real to us today, makes him so that we can be bearers of his image. Today, in today's world, that things have changed 2,000 years or more than that, and we can still bear on ourselves the image of Christ by revelation of the Holy Spirit, who told us the ways of Jesus are this. And we look at the parables, we look at the teachings of Jesus, we look at just so many different ways, and sure enough, that we didn't know before. Now, I have this scripture, this little Bible study, and it comes out of Joshua. It's the story of Rahab the harlot. It's kind of sensitive to talk about Rahab the harlot in church. But you know what? That was made a part of the scriptures, that story. And as a matter of fact, Rahab the harlot was made part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So you can't push her aside and ignore her fully, because she was part of the overall eternal plan. So I want us to look at this, because I think she was a good example of revelation. She had a revelation some kind of way. She saw things that other people couldn't see. She saw them because they had been revealed to her. Now, I'd like to suggest that they were revealed to her by the Lord. And she invested faith in that revelation that she knew came from God. What is it when you tell the whole story? It saved her life. You know, if you follow this story through, you realize that she had a revelation from God. She invested faith in it. She said, hey, God, I'm sure of this. God has told me some things. She obeyed the revelation. And if we follow the story, we'll realize that her life was saved, her mother's life was saved, her father's life was saved, her sister's life, her brother's life, and all that were with them. That may mean the children, or the whole family was saved. Now, that has implications too, and I hope some of us will pick up on this, because many of us are in families where you say, oh my, I have loved ones that they don't know Jesus. They need this revelation. They need to know who Jesus is. And this story is an encouragement that many times the revelation that you have received from God as to who he is and who his son is, it certainly has already saved your life. It's given you salvation, as you have invested faith in the truth of God's word and bowed your knee to him, you've received salvation. That's saving your life. But I remember reading in the scriptures that somebody gave instructions to somebody, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's not the end of the sentence. What's the rest of that? And thy house. So I'd like to say, let's begin to those of us who have loved ones who are not part of the family of God, and our desire is to see them be brought into the family of God. Let's pray for them with the idea, Lord, you are not limited to just me. You can bring them to you. And here's a good example. So let's look at the scriptures and see what the scriptures have to say about the Rahab story. This is the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and the first verse, the first couple of verses say this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, who is Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Okay, the truth was, God was giving this land that he had prepared, and he told Joshua, take the people over to this land. So the truth is, God had made a commitment to them, a covenant, a promise. I have a land for you, and I'm going to take you to that land. I've given you that land. But you know what? It needed revelation because a lot of people didn't believe it. The king of the Amorites said, hey, you're not going to take us. And the Lord had to get rid of them. And Og, it was another king who said, no, you can't take this land. God didn't give it to you. This is the land of Og, or whatever they might have called it. And God had to enforce his will on those who didn't clearly see the revelation. But let's turn to the second chapter of Joshua and begin to read this. And so I'm going to read it. It may sound like a little Sunday school story, but I want you to pick up on some of these things. And Joshua, the son of Nun, this is Joshua 2, verse 1, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when the gate was about to be closed to dark, the men went out. I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you'll overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax. That she had laid in order on her roof. So the men pursued after them all on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, listen to this, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Now, this is indication that she had a revelation. She had the truth of God that everybody else wasn't fully convinced of. How do you think she got that revelation? And we could speculate and guess, but let me give you some observations. She was the owner of a house of ill repute. She wasn't pious. She didn't have a clean reputation. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this. I would imagine that her father was kind of ashamed of her, you know? And probably some of her sisters and brothers told their kids, look, don't go by, I don't ever want you to be over there near Aunt Rahab's house, you know? If you need to see Aunt Rahab, I need to be with you. You know, so she wasn't seen as a very lofty character, even in the family. Well, but this story takes place, and she had a true revelation. Let's read on here. Here's what she said. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me, this is what she's saying to those two spies. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you have, that you will save alive my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. So then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built in the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you've made us swear. We will be guiltless. In other words, we will honor this oath that we've made. Behold, when you come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother and brothers and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we'll be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anybody who is within your house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we will be guiltless with respect to you and the oath that you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Let's look at this story a little bit. And the Lord guided those spies. If you can kind of get a sense of what's happening. Joshua has told them, look, the Lord has told us we're going to have Canaan. Jericho's on the way, and we should have it. But I want you to go and look at the territory, see what we got. So if you send spies, they're kind of secret. Nobody ever goes around saying, I'm a spy. No. Part of being a spy is kind of staying low-key, kind of hidden, gaining intelligence, gaining information without people knowing. So how am I going to get to know this community? They don't know me. Well, people that are from out this area, they can always go down to Rahab's Hope Motel. I'll give it as much credit as I could give it. But they went down to Rahab's house. No, they had revelation as to where to go. Because Rahab was a person, she was oh, some of the terms we use today, she was a street lady. She kind of knew what was going on in the community. You know, some of the big shots came to her place, and she'd hear information. And so she was quite a source of the good kind of information that spies needed. Now, if it had been me, I'd have said, oh, no, don't go to. But the revelation